There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1206 FM Talk 106.5 on a Thursday. It's Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. Next couple hours, we're hanging out here. You're a big part of the show. When you call, you text at 343-0106. A guest coming by to join us. Jeff Poore is going to join us here in just a little bit. Plus, we'll get more from Dr. Bill Williams coming up at the bottom of the hour, which means like, which was just stupid that I would say bottom of the hour. 12:35. All right, that's when that'll happen. He'll get an update there. Watching at least a little more activity in the tropics out there. Nothing right here in our backyard yet, but maybe some things to watch for next week, and then a bigger wave coming off the African coast. Heading for a high today, right around 90. That's where we sit now, 90 at our studios. And rain showers popping up here in Mobile County, also in Baldwin County. You're getting them. A big bunch of storms right now. If you're in Foley, heading down to like Orange Beach, back towards Gulf Shores, you're getting them. And south Mobile County, down around Alabama Port, down at Coden, a little bit east of the bayou, getting that shower right now. Looks like more of that on tap for the rest of the afternoon. All right, coming up in just a little bit, we'll get Jeff Poore on, and he's going to talk about a couple things here. We'll talk about national stories and the latest here between President Trump and Attorney General Sessions. Also, we will talk about the passing of John McCain and whether you invite people to your funeral or not. And, oh yeah, lotto talk. The governor has chimed in about this. And we'll get to this here in a second. So Governor Ivey has chimed in on Mississippi passing passing what needed to be passed to make a way for a state lottery. Okay. By the way, our online opinion poll question, I've left this up longer than we normally do because it's really interesting to look at this. And I wonder, now, our online opinion poll question is not scientific. We don't have a certain sample. We don't have, plus or minus. It's for entertainment purposes only. But it's often a great indicator, has been over the last 9 years, of where opinion is. We run these polls, and then I kind of see what happens when other polling comes out. And, pretty darn good, pretty darn representative of what happens out there. And we asked the question, with Mississippi moving towards a state lottery, is it time for Alabama to vote on having its own state lottery? 94% of y'all say yes. Alabama needs to move to a vote on having a lottery. And that's kind of the halfway. That's the halfway thing. You can say, I'm not for, and it's a political move as well. I've said it before just because I'm not I don't really care, but I care about people having the right to referendum. And I realize there's a bunch of money leaving our state for all the other states, and now it'll be Mississippi as well as all the other kind of gaming. They have sports betting, casino games. They'll also have lottery, and it'll leave Alabama an island unto itself. And you might say, well, that's right. That's good. That's what we should do. Do you think that Alabama not having gambling keeps people who want to gamble from Alabama, keeps them from gambling? Do you think it has anything to do with it? Really? Somebody would say, well, I'd like to gamble, but it's illegal in my state. Really? So is it time for Alabama? And then the other question, of course, if Alabama gets in here, will we have like a two-bit, will we have a cheap plastic with chrome paint on it version of lottos in other states? And why does it always have to be that, you can only do a lotto if you need a lotto, right? States, we need it for schools, we need it for this, we need it for that. Shouldn't it be the right of referendum of the people, whether they feel that's a valid thing in their state or not? Why does it always have to be wrapped up? Why do lotteries have to be wrapped up? What if a private business could come in and secure the money and show that they had the money to pay out and do it? Why? But that wouldn't get approved. Why? Now, this question came up over the weekend on Capital Journal, and Governor Ivey was talking about this and was asked a question about Alabama and a state lottery. This is from Capital Journal. This is Don Daly from Capital Journal and APT asking questions of Governor Ivey about the lottery.
Governor, I also want to talk about a lottery for a moment. The Mississippi legislature is in a special session right now considering a lottery, and of course that draws attention back to the lottery issue here in Alabama. Your opponent, one of his main campaign planks is an education lottery. You have said that you would support a referendum for the people to decide on a lottery, right?
The only way the people can get to vote is if the legislature passes a constitutional amendment allowing a lottery. And certainly I support the people's right to vote, but the legislature's first got to pass a constitutional amendment allowing a lottery.
Do you think we might get there? Do you think they might reconsider it, especially
in light
of Mississippi?
Well, think about it. You said Mississippi, so the discussion comes up. Just because another state does something, does that mean we need to just jump in there and do it too? Right now, our economy is robust. People are working more so than ever before. And if we continue to manage our funds and spend prudently and wisely and reduce unnecessary duplication and find ways to spend smarter, we just might not need a lottery right now.
I know it's been pointed out with Mississippi considering a lottery in a special session that if they approved one, Alabama would then be the only southern state that does not have a lottery. But that doesn't bother you necessarily?
It sure doesn't. Just because everybody does something, does it make it good or right or you ought to do it? There's something called doing things right because it's the right thing to do. And I just support our people working hard and having a robust economy, which we have now, and signs are that will continue for some time. And I'm proud to be a part of Alabama working again.
There's something called doing things right because it's the right thing to do. I've never heard that one before. Well, we'll have to get that crocheted on a pillow there. But the question is, just assuming that because everybody's doing something, then it must be a bad decision, right? I mean, that's kind of, it makes that assumption as well. And also, can we roll back? Let's go like a minute in here. I want to get another part of that conversation. Let's go back to 1 minute in.
Prudently and wisely and...
We'll go a little further back than that. Okay, here we go.
Never before. And if we continue to manage our funds and spend prudently and wisely and reduce unnecessary duplication and...
Okay, I'm sorry. I cannot let that go. I can't. That we have spent our money prudently and wisely in the state to this point. Now, I understand Governor Ivey is, new to the gig here. But she's been part of state government a long time. We have not spent our money prudently and wisely. We have not budgeted prudently and wisely. We talked about the story this morning. Dalton had brought up Mississippi just now getting around to allocating their BP funds from their first check. Everybody run to get the money spent here in Alabama because we can't afford ourselves with our BP money, right? And then the federal bailouts before. So the idea that we've done a great job of being, those in Montgomery, being stewards of the money, have trouble with that. So the lottery, whether it's a good idea or not, the governor says, just because everybody else is doing it, and I'm paraphrasing for her here, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean we should. But we are, Governor Ivey, we are. There are people in mass leaving our area, which I do love, though, by the way, side note. I do love it when the lottos get big, the jackpots get big, and you got that person at work goes, man, it's now it's worth me going to get a ticket. It's $700 million. Why, Scott? Because like $5 million wouldn't help you? Because it's not worth your time? You got that person in the office, well, it's up to $500 million now. It's worth. Come on. But there are people leaving the state to go buy lotto tickets in Florida, in Georgia, in Tennessee. Now, quite possibly, they'll have the option of doing it in Mississippi. They can do class three gaming, table games in Mississippi. Of course, sports betting now there, but not here in Alabama. Has that prevented people in Alabama from gambling? It might slow them down a little, but if somebody wants to gamble and they can go across the state line, doesn't seem like a big issue there, right? That they go. So they take their money out of state and whatever societal ills, which there definitely are. If you don't think there are societal ills around gambling, you are lying to yourself. But there are societal ills from gambling. Come back home to Alabama. The revenue goes away. The societal ills come back. So just because the governor says, well, if everybody else is jumping off a bridge, why would you jump off a bridge? Well, maybe because the bridge is only like a foot and a half high and the water's fantastic in there. I don't know. It's just a question to ask. And we'll ask that of our buddy Jeff Poor. He's going to join us next. Lots to talk about with him on the on right now today as you have a funeral procession, or actually the procession has gotten to the church there in Phoenix at the funeral. One of the funerals for the late Senator John McCain going on. Then his body will be moved to Washington next. And what about making a list for your own funeral? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Lotto and a whole lot more when we get back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Some days are more fun than others. Aren't they? 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. To bring on there my buddy Jeff Poor with Breitbart, Lanyap, Yellowhammer News, and a man that has spent more windshield time in the state of Alabama than anybody who's campaigning. Though I'll tell you, they've spent more time in the 67 counties. Jeff is probably the man who you could actually just run for office on that. So I've been there. I've done that.
I need to send you a map. What I've done is kind of used a highlighter to kind of track where I've been, and it's kind of impressive, I have to say.
What if we made it like one of those? Remember the old placemats at restaurants that had like the wacky, either the wacky map of the United States or Alabama with like a cartoon representation of any different region? You could have you there in the car kind of going along and, hey, there I am, there's the Capitol. Or, hey, there I am, there's the beach at Gulf Shores or something like that. It'd be good.
I still, the elusive Crenshaw County is the one that I've passed through the corner of it, but not spent much time there.
Downtown Luverne, man. Go ahead and pack a lunch. You're going to be ready to party when you go there.
The big peanut boil's there this weekend. The world's largest peanut boil is in Luverne this weekend, those who are interested.
I am. I wish I had time. I dig the boiled peanuts for sure. Is there any word whether they're going to be the Cajun boiled peanuts going on? The little spicy.
I just want to know what they were thinking. Why would you do this the weekend they have the opening of college football?
Maybe they're going to put a big screen downtown or something like that. You can watch the games and then eat.
There's some Roll Tides going on down there.
Yeah, and there's some War Eagles going on there too. So
I bet you there's a lot more Roll Tides.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. Want to just quickly touch on what's going on right now out in Phoenix, as it is the funeral, or I guess this is the official funeral. I don't know how it works when somebody then goes and lies in state in the Capitol, but that funeral is going on right now in Phoenix for the late Senator John McCain. This has gotten wrapped up in politics pretty thickly.
Yeah, they've weaponized his death, I think, just because he was often at odds with President Donald Trump. That was really what everyone said was going to be Trump's undoing. His big, the last we would hear of him in 2015 was when he kind of took a shot at his military service, and he preferred his war heroes not to be captured. And I remember it was like a Saturday. It was the weekend of my first year wedding anniversary, and that was the big news. And everybody said, "Well, at least we won't have to hear from Donald Trump anymore." And here we are, what, 3 years later, and he's president.
Well, okay, with that being said, a lot's been made, and I talked about it some this morning, about people not invited to the funeral, right? So the president is not invited to the funeral. The story of Sarah Palin, his one-time, John McCain's one-time running mate, not invited to the funeral. I guess going down the list of who's not invited and using that as a weapon. But I ask this question, this is not a political question, just a regular, everyday people question. Do you invite people to your funeral? I've never even thought about that before. I've never known that was a thing.
Well, so when you have these sort of high stakes or high drama funerals, in my understanding, they kind of communicated to her through back channels, like, we won't turn you away, but you probably will get some cold shoulders if you make the trip for Senator McCain's funeral.
Well, I mean, wouldn't somebody, if they knew they were going to get that, wouldn't they know that on their own and not, you know, and not show up? You know what I'm saying? Do you have to tell somebody that?
Well, you kind of wonder. It got leaked out a little bit, and there was a lot of questions. I think the media was asking, will Sarah Palin come or not? So it wasn't just like it just sort of happened. I think it was a question posed by some members of the media, and there was a lot of speculation, and then, inevitably these questions get answered in these ways.
Okay. With that, now, the, part of this discussion, the other one is, look who's going to be there. You've got Joe Biden's going to speak. You've got, you know, Barack Obama invited to this. I mean, this is the last sign that he was just a rhino, and that's what it was all about. I mean, do you think that has any kind of merit?
No, that's just, you know, they ran against one another in a very historic presidential election. They kept in touch even after Obama beat him, and McCain sort of mellowed out and didn't really wasn't quite the staunch Obama opponent during Obama's presidency that one might have thought he would have been, you know, in the United States Senate.
Okay, so when this process then goes this afternoon, they take the body of John McCain to the Capitol. Do you know, I'm maybe asking you something you don't know, I don't know, is there another funeral, or how does this work? I'm ignorant to that.
So there's going to be another service in D.C., my understanding, before his body lies in state there at the, you know, the Capitol Rotunda. But I think that's how these things have been done in the past. When you have a high-profile person like that, they do some kind of service, maybe at the National Cathedral or something, and then they do a service, you know, wherever the body will eventually be laid to rest.
Does it seem like, I mean, I think the other day I saw the list, it was 31 or 33, something like that. That's been the number of people that have laid in state there at the Capitol Rotunda in the history of our republic. And between that and, you know, so many news organizations out in Phoenix at this funeral, so many big names. This is almost like the death of a president, right? Not just a senator.
Yeah, and you know, it's even more rare for a non-president to get these high honors. So, way these things work in D.C., I know he was a beloved figure in those circles of Washington, D.C., but a lot of it is just kind of a, kind of self-serving in some aspects of it. But, if this had been, just name another senator, like...
Okay,
like
here's what I'm wondering.
Tom Coburn or somebody.
Right.
Would they be doing this? And I don't think so.
What about this? So this is what I was wondering about, bringing it back home. What if Richard Shelby dies, right? I mean, here's head of appropriations, very powerful senator, obviously, outsized influence back here at home. We see him at a one level. But, I mean, he is the top of the food chain there as head of appropriations. Does he get anything like this?
No, but the difference between McCain and Shelby would be that McCain was a war hero. McCain,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
was a POW. I think had McCain not been a POW and not been really revered by them, he wouldn't be as revered by the media, perhaps, and he probably wouldn't have these same honors.
All right, I want to talk a bit about back here at home, and we're pretty close to the break here, but I want to start off the conversation because you have a piece up at Yellowhammer News, and we've put this up on the Twitter feed. People can check it out. And played the audio. I want to go back. If people are just joining us here, I'm going to play the audio that you embedded in here. This is from Capital Journal, Don Daly talking to Governor Ivey about Mississippi and their lottery. Let's go to that cut.
Governor, I also want to talk about a lottery for a moment. The Mississippi legislature is in a special session right now considering a lottery, and of course that draws attention back to the lottery issue here in Alabama. Your opponent, one of his main campaign planks is an education lottery. You have said that you would support a referendum for the people to decide on a lottery, right?
The only way the people can get to vote is if the legislature passes a constitutional amendment allowing a lottery. And certainly I support the people's right to vote, but the legislature's first got to pass a constitutional amendment allowing a lottery. Mm.
Do you think we might get there? Do you think they might reconsider it, especially
in light
of Mississippi?
Well, think about it. Mississippi, so the discussion comes up, just because another state does something, does that mean we need to just jump in there and do it too? Right now, our economy is robust. People are working more so than ever before. And if we continue to manage our funds and spend prudently and wisely and reduce unnecessary duplication and find ways to spend smarter, we just might not need a lottery right now.
I know it's been pointed out with Mississippi considering a lottery in a special session that if they approved one, Alabama would then be the only southern state that does not have a lottery. But that doesn't bother you necessarily?
It sure doesn't. Just because everybody does something, does it make it good or right or you ought to do it? There's something called doing things right because it's the right thing to do. And I just support our people working hard and having a robust economy, which we have now, and signs are that will continue for some time. And I'm proud to be a part of Alabama working again.
Jeff, I mean, first of all, I mean, it sounds like the things she did say were part of a talking points, right, for the governor there about the robust economy of people working. And the other part of it is that strikes me is that they've done some great job of managing funds in Montgomery.
Right, that is the laughable part, as you said in your first segment. But she's, I think, trying to get it both ways. She's trying to get she doesn't want to come out against the lottery, and she doesn't want to come out in support of a lottery, if that makes any sense. So I think she's trying to split the difference and not try to keep everybody happy. And that's really the whole MO of her campaign, right? She doesn't need to go debate. She doesn't need to take these bold stands. She just needs to win an election. That's the name of the game.
Okay, we come back. We're going to talk more about that. That's interesting, the angle that maybe that last interchange with Don Daley is pretty close to the whole setup for her campaign here in 2018. By the way, online opinion poll question: with Mississippi moving towards a state lottery, is it time for Alabama to vote on having its own state lottery? 94% of y'all say yes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Buddy Jeff Poore hanging out with us. But Jeff, I'm going to get somebody on the phone here with us because I was asking that question about what happens when someone goes to Lyon State there at the Rotunda at the Capitol, and you were talking about the services. David, who is checking in here. David, you were part of a Presidential Honor Guard. Do we have David? There we go. We've got to press the right button. Sorry about that, David. David said you're part of a Presidential Honor Guard.
Yes, sir. I was stationed in the Presidential Honor Guard. I was in the Coast Guard in 87 through 89. I stood next to Reagan and Bush Sr. I had a top security clearance. The towers you see, like standing next to Trump with the flags and all that, that's what I did. That's
cool.
Ceremonial Honor Guard.
Well, good to have you calling.
What they're going to do is what they call a death watch.
Okay.
They put them in the Tundra. They're going to have two members from each branch of the service standing there, and they'll rotate out every 30 minutes or so, and they'll do it all day so people can come by and pay their respects, and, you know, they're standing at attention and stuff.
That's why it's called a rotunda.
If he's going to be buried in Arlington, he would definitely get a, I guess he was in the Army, I believe, he would get a full honors platoon. That'd be two platoons. The Navy does the taps and everything. And they'll have a service there if they have it in D.C. I do not know. A lot of times they might even have, if there's somebody with the Pentagon, they'll have the 105 howitzers out there doing it, and they'll have full arms platoon. Everybody will be out there, all the branches, and they'll give them a 21-gun salute with the 105 howitzers.
Yeah, okay. So, and he was, if it makes any, he was a naval aviator, so
Navy, okay. So the Navy will be the ones that go out and do the full honors platoon, the burial and stuff. But yeah, that's what'll happen. It'll be called a death watch.
And so that was, so as soon as he is moved into the rotunda there, that death watch begins.
Well, the honor guard, the Navy honor guard will actually move them into it, and then all the branches of the service will be standing there with them. They'll do a joint colors procession, you know, where they'll bring out the American flags and all the service flags. And, you know, it's a very unique thing. It's something else.
But now we have
a Constitution watch also, where we did a death watch over the Constitution. And the people can come up to you and they try to take you.
Wait. Death watch over the Constitution. I mean, I may have lamented that it seems like the Constitution is dead, but was that an actual thing y'all did?
Yeah, they do it every year. Oh yeah.
Huh. So, okay. Well, but, I thought it was.
That's what's going to happen with McCain there. He's and because he was a war veteran, you know, a POW and everything. That's why he'll get the whole shooting match from the military.
There you go, David. I appreciate your calling. Thank you for your service to our country. I guess, and that also answers the question, Jeff, for liberals who would say the Constitution is a living, breathing document. David's been there on the death watch, so it's not alive.
I'm glad that clears that up.
Okay, I want to kind of get back to what we're talking about here in the state, and Governor Ivey on with Don Daly. But this idea, this did come up, if I remember correctly, back during the primary, right? When I think it was Tommy Battle who went out and said he'd be open to the people voting in a lottery. Actually, he may have gone farther in saying he was a pro-lottery candidate. And at that point, I think I remember that's when we heard first from Governor Ivey that she'd be open to the idea of a lottery. Is that timeline correct?
Yeah, he was, I believe it was the Brecken debate in Birmingham when they asked the three candidates what they thought about a lottery. I think Dawson and Hightower were opposed to it, or they were pro the idea of people getting a vote on it. But I think Tommy Battle was the only one to go full-fledged pro-lottery.
Yeah, because I pointed out before, that idea of getting to vote on it, that's that halfway measure, right? There's some political protection in that. You're not actually for the lottery. You're just actually for the people's right of referendum.
Well, my question is, you think about this lottery issue. We're not where we were in 1999 when it was defeated. If you ever get a chance to read Jack Abramoff's book
about a book.
Yeah, about talking about the churches and what they did with the Ralph Reed and the Christian Coalition, and did all these things to beat the lottery back. I don't think history can repeat itself now. We just changed as a society so much and everything. So that being said, why is there this need or this desire to oppose the lottery? When I don't think it's necessarily it doesn't do anything to your campaign one way or another if you support it or oppose it. And people that just like vociferously oppose it, I wonder where they think they're making up any political ground.
Okay, well, and I would point, the very unscientific, so nobody thinks I've misquoted, the very unscientific FM Talk 106.5 online opinion poll question, 94% of the people that have answered to that say yes to getting to vote on the lottery, right? They want it to happen. I mean, that should, even some of the real polling, I think that's a few years old, had it at 64% or something of Alabamians wanted the lottery. Of course, I want to go down a million different small trails on it, things like why lotteries have to be wrapped in the cloak of it's for the kids or it's for this or that. It's never that the lottery can stand on its own. Even though gaming in states, it's not like you say, well, we're gaming in a state because it's for the children, right? It's not, we're not rolling dice for kids. But lotteries always are wrapped up in a cloak of it's for the children. Either, why not just say, hey, we're going to legalize private entities to come in here and run a lottery? I mean, why don't they do it like casino games?
Well, is it possible that the reason there's some other things going on here with the gambling interest in Alabama? You have out-of-state influences, you have in-state influences, you have all these gambling interests that don't want to compete with the lottery for gambling dollars. So, we get caught up in the merits of it, we get caught up in the ideology of it, what the money would be used for, we get caught up in the freedom aspect. What's really going on here? Why won't Ivy say one way or another? And is it really because she's worried about what it means electorally, when she's going to probably win her election by 20 points?
Right.
So I kind of wonder if there's some other things going on there that you want to keep everybody happy, and that includes whoever maybe it's the Porch Creeks or maybe it's the dog track, the McGregor, the whatever's left of the McGregor empire, all these interests around the state that get involved in Alabama politics for better or for worse, and if there's maybe not something to that.
Yeah, another one of those side trails is, just the question is, do we think we want to start a bureaucracy to run another part of Alabama? We just had, the discussion of 93% of the budget being earmarked, divisions of the state that are bigger than they need to be while others are smaller. And then, if you run a state lottery, you have to have, it's going to take some people to run that thing, right?
They become just these ridiculous, bloated bureaucracies with, staffs and people, and that I think is where people have some questions. But I think the bigger question beyond that is, what's this money going to be used for?
Well, but, you know, that's the funny thing. And if they decide to run with this, it will have a face of, you know, a child or something like that, right? I mean, that's how they run these things. And once again, I don't care. I mean, it doesn't bother me, gamble or not. I wish it would just be across the board. Just do all gambling if you're going to gamble. But, you know, you're being advertised to, right? When states go, well, you know, it's for the children. I mean, either it's you know what? We could sell crack cocaine in the state of Alabama and give that money to the kids, Jeff.
Well, and it goes back to these consultants looking at these things and thinking, well, these dumb hillbilly hayseeds or whatever, the only way they're going to do it is if we tug on the heartstrings. Haven't we learned in Alabama politics, especially with the downfall of the AEA, that education funding isn't necessarily like the best path to get what you want, because it's just been abused. It's been, you know, people look at the teachers union. They look at how, you know, some of these abuses, the way they kind of tried to install their own shadow government in some instances. I wonder if maybe they talk about roads and bridges. Maybe they talk about, you know, what economic development. You name your whatever the state government does where it's falling, coming up short. Is that the path? Is it always just going to be education?
Good point. And then the other part of this where, and people are hitting us up on the text line like they always do on this, is just let's talk about the real world, especially down here in Southwest Alabama. The number of people from here, and I don't have any stats in front of me, but anecdotally, it's a bunch of people that will drive across the line to go buy lottery tickets in Florida. That money is leaving the state. That money is going to be spent on lotto no matter what. No matter how you preach to them or do whatever, that they're going to spend that money on lotto. So why not keep it here?
But that we've been hearing that argument for the last 40 years, that people were going to go elsewhere and spend their gambling dollars in Florida. First it was Florida, then it was, you know, Mississippi, Tennessee, or Georgia, or whatever, right? Yeah. So, it's a valid argument, but it hasn't worked in the past, and we still don't have a lottery in Alabama. So, what other reasons can you offer people? And I wouldn't use that us versus other states. I just think maybe you say, look, we have shortfalls here, 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 and here. Look at all the quality of life in the other states created from the lottery, and we need it for that reason. Because I think kind of doing the same thing over and over again, saying, look at all this money leaving the state. You could make the same argument about sales tax on groceries and people going over there to buy groceries, or people buying liquor, or any of these things. But the reality is, if that were the cure-all magic way to get whatever it is you wanted accomplished, then we would have had it done already.
Okay. The idea is that also people will say, well, you've got societal ills that go with people. I don't know if they say this much for lottery, although I guess there's people that could spend big money on lottery. But there's societal ills. And I think, you know, to look at this and not think there are, you know, not realize there are societal ills, you're fooling yourself. But if people are driving over to buy lottery tickets or do class 3 gaming, or now with sports gambling going on, you know, when they miss their house payment, they don't miss it in Mississippi, they don't miss it in Florida, they miss it back in Alabama.
Well, are we worried that without that distance, without that kind of time to think over these impulses to gamble or whatever.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, what is the...
You would see an increase in that. There would be some societal ills. You would have more societal ills just because of the convenience and the ability to act on the impulse. So, yeah, there's maybe some argument. That's maybe a relevant argument to some degree, but if somebody really wants to gamble, if somebody really wants to take their paycheck, and you look at the very center point somewhere in the state like Montgomery or whatever, they will drive to Mississippi, they will drive to wherever they need to be to waste their paycheck on, you know, betting on whatever it may be.
Which is amazing. We don't, how states are. We don't have the money for things as people, you know, because people say, well, I don't trust, you know, I hear this a lot, like the gas tax question. That discussion, it would go to infrastructure, and then the discussion comes up, well, they're wasting the money they have right now. Look at the earmarked budget. Look at how that stuff's done. I'm not giving them another red cent. But, man, if you give me a lottery, I'll give them a lot of red cents.
Some of these people that oppose the lottery do it for that reason. The government doesn't need more money. If they want to pass the lottery and lower my taxes, then maybe we're talking. But does the government need more money? Do we want to be given these pillars of society that run the state legislature, these people that have done so much for the public good over the last 150 years, do we want to give them more money? And I think that's maybe where you get a little bit of pushback. Like, we, you know, they've done so well with money. Why even give them even more money? I'm not a big gambler. If I really wanted to gamble, I'm just going to drive to Florida and buy my lottery tickets or whatever. So there's an ideological argument to be made there. Is that really what these people who might oppose a lottery use? I doubt it. I don't think people really buy into it. But I do think it's valid to criticize just the nature of state government and the waste and fraud and, you know, corruption and abuse and all these things that go on in Montgomery, to say we don't need to give them another red cent.
You know, to circle back to something you said earlier, a point you made about political standing, that Governor Kay Ivey, unless, you know, something we don't know, right now in the polling is 20 points ahead of Maddox here. You know, what does she have to lose? If she just came out, I wonder what that would be like. If she just came out and said, yeah, I'm for a lottery too. I think the state should have a lottery. I don't know that there's anybody that would have shown up and voted for that. Wouldn't, maybe they would, but I don't, you know, and she could say something to that effect. Now let's talk about some other issues for Alabama. You know, okay, I'm lottery too. Now let's move on. Now, Walt Maddox, what's your plan for, you know, building business in the state of Alabama or whatever it would be?
Right, and we need to have that discussion, and I think a gubernatorial election is appropriate. Let's go ahead and assume the people of Alabama want a lottery. A lottery is going to happen. Why don't we compare and contrast how that is lottery, how that lottery money is spent in the future? And I would suspect that Walt Maddox and Kay Ivey would have very different ideas on how to spend lottery money. That's a worthy debate. That's the debate we need to have. But we're really, I think, you know, these consultants look at it like, well, it's an easy hot button. It's a layup. There's going to be people to think, I like a lottery. I'm going to go out and vote for Walt Maddox. And, you know, how many Democrats in the past have ran on that? And we've elected one. We've elected Don Siegelman. And that's it. So, right, the gambling issue, it's tired. It's been beaten down. But I think people are just tired of hearing about it. And they're ready just to say, let's go ahead and have a lottery. And I think we need to start thinking about that next phase of these discussions.
All right, there he is, Jeff Poore with Yellowhammer News, Lanyap, and Breitbart. People want to reach out to you online. How do they do it?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
All right, very good. We'll be talking about this again, I think you're right, next week, the week after, the whole way through November and probably after. Right, 12:50. We'll come right to the phones at 343-0106. 343-0106. We talk to you next.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:53, FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Daniel, on the text line. Somebody gets my sense of humor. He beat me to my own story with a text about AAA saying, this is the biggest Labor Day travel period ever. It's AAA's job, right? So more Americans will be doing... It's been that way my whole life. There's always been, this year's the biggest of whatever it is. Biggest Thanksgiving travel, whatever. It's biggest Christmas travel. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. And Tim, first in Mobile. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sean. I've been thinking about the lottery thing, and I'm just really curious. I don't know of any states that have lotteries that are not making money. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. So my thinking on that is that basically it's a no-brainer as far as getting a lottery started in Alabama. The main problem is what to do with the profits.
Well, okay, what about what Jeff and I were just talking about? When you look at Montgomery, do you think they've been good stewards of the of taxpayer dollar in Montgomery? Do you think they've done a good job?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then. Okay. Well, then there's no nuance to our conversation. You do, and I don't. But I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but I have nothing more to add to that. Then I don't. That doesn't mean I'm against. I've been the guy that's pushed for referendum the whole time on this. I want to go to the full degree. If they're going to do it, let's. I can't say that. Let's fish or cut bait. Okay? Why don't we do at least what Mississippi is doing? Makes sense. If you're going to gamble, you gamble on cards and throw dice, and you bet on sports, and you do a lot. If you're going to do it, just do it. Oh, well, that would never pass. Well, all right, let's go to Wes in Mobile next. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Sean. Listen, I don't care where the profits go to. It can go directly to the governor's pocket if they want to.
Don't give them any ideas, Wes.
To spend $5 or $10 of my hard-earned money a week in hopes that I could better myself the next week. There's a lot of poor people out here that hope, that little idea of hope, that maybe next week they'll win $1,000. It'll help them out of their transmission problem or their car or their house problem. I mean, these people up there, they make enough money. They don't care about us little bitty people. We need every little thing we can get. And what's the big deal of a doggone lottery?
Well, okay, the question is, let me turn it around then. If the thing is folks don't have the money to do these things, and I completely understand what you're saying, because I think we've all who have bought a lottery ticket get that fantasy, right? The old, what would I do if I won thing? If you don't, then you probably don't have synapses firing in your head. But if you're buying lottery tickets and it's $10 here and $10 there and $10 somewhere else, that's money that you could be holding back to try to better yourself, right? I mean, Wes, when something happens. You gone? Okay. All right. Well, there we go. Let's go to Mike in Gulf Shores. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Good, man. So what's your take on this?
Good. Hey, well, I don't think we're going to have to worry about the lottery too much longer, because once OWA gets their native status on that land, they're going to put a casino out there.
Now, but that process, if I remember correctly, that process, I mean, there's a lot to it. You can't just say that's native land. I mean, people have often said that about GolfQuest. They're like, well, just turn it into a casino. So you can't just, it has to be tribal land. You can't just say it is.
Well, no, they have to be on there at least 3 years.
But there's no other process? What, something's sticking in my head here that you had to do something like show that there was some kind of the interest in the land from the tribe back in the past or something like that. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not going to speak with authority. There's just something sticking in my head.
I don't believe so. I think that they can buy the land. They have to sit on it for 3 to 5 years. I've done some other Indian things myself legally, and I think that's all they have to do. But they told me in confidence that they were definitely going to put up a casino out there.
There you go. And then that means there won't be a lot of people on the Ferris wheel or whatever they up.
That's right. And once they get the casino, then I think Alabama's going to wake up.
It'd be too late. It'll be too late, right? I mean, like, kind of, listen, any kind of, and Mike, I appreciate your call. That's the other question. Just because I said I'm pro-referendum doesn't mean I don't say what at least comes to mind here may be true. If we do have a lottery here, we'll be like the last person in. We'll be the Bobo half-measured lotto here in Alabama. It'll be like cut-rate lotto. Grab your calls when we return. Phone number 343-0106.